So it's Celebration Sunday. And so there's a few things that I want to celebrate, but here's where I want to start. This morning when you came in, Brian shared about what's happening this evening. He invited you to be with us, invited you, if you're a guest, to get to know us. And then we moved into worship and we began to sing Forever Rain. And the person that led that was Caroline Crawford. And many of you know Caroline because she, most weeks, is playing keys, leading worship, has a fantastic voice. Others of you know Caroline because, amen to that. Others of you, if you've been part of some of our recent women's events, you've got to hear Caroline teach and lead, and she's got an incredible gift to do that as well. Y'all are ready. Y'all are ready for today. So I'm excited. This section is already acting the plumb fool. I'm going to invite the rest of you to join in with them. And then last spring, she sent me an email. She's a student getting her MDiv and with an emphasis on biblical counseling. And she said, part of what I have to do is do an internship where I'm helping to execute care. She's like, do you know any prisons or any counseling agencies that I could be a part of? And I was like, I am sure I could find some. But I was like, why don't you come play here?
Yeah.
I was like, ask your professors. Like, we don't have an established one, but can you come be a part of what we're trying to do and help us build that out? And so she talked to them, and they're like, yeah, that's great. You can do that. And so as of this week, Caroline is officially an intern here at King's Harbor. And so she will be helping with care. And so part of the reason why I'm doing this is so if you walk into a care meeting and Caroline's there, like, you're not gonna be like, wait a minute, what are you doing here? You can lead worship? That's weird, but okay. Like one, I want you to know what's going on, and because I want to just empower her that as she is learning and leading, that you guys know what's happening. But two, it's a celebration Sunday. And I love that what you came November of 17. So you've been here, 6 months less than I have. And just seeing the progression of the way that the Lord has used you and the spaces that you've grown into. So you don't know this. I've never told you this. My mom and my sister have both said to me, watching online, and when we come visit you, we need to hang out with Caroline. And so I'm like, are you gonna hang out with me? I'm the one that lives here. But I think it says something about you. I think it says that even people who don't know you personally experience the power of God through you. And there's a genuineness about you that people are excited about. And so I know there may be many that don't know you here yet, but I'm excited because they're gonna experience the power of God through you. And they're going to see the genuineness that you walk in. So, awesome. You want to say anything? Want to introduce yourself?
No, it's okay. Do you want me to?
Yes.
Okay. Is this on? I'll just sit behind the piano still. It's my safe spot. I'm really excited to join the team to learn and to also add a voice to the mix. Something, as I was just thinking about Mike introducing me, just today is Celebration Sunday, so we're talking about the power of Jesus and bringing death to life. And sometimes that's hard to hold with the tension that life is still really hard, that there's lots of grief, pain, loss that we experience in this life while the Lord tarries. And so I'm just so deeply moved and convicted that Jesus is powerful enough and cares enough to enter into those spaces as well, that he brings transformation on super big celebratory weekends like this. You can see me up here worshiping with my whole heart, but that he's also in the counseling room meeting us in our most intimate and vulnerable spots. So just so you know my heart in wanting to serve you guys and love you guys. And I'm so, 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 so thankful for the opportunity to be part of the team here. So
thanks. Awesome. Can we pray for Caroline before she walks off the stage? Right, let's pray. Father, thank you for Caroline. Lord, I'm just mindful that that final year of education has so much weight on it, from what she has to study to trying to do an internship to just all the ways that she's already ministering here through the worship team and then now joining staff as an intern. There's just so much. And so, Lord, I actually pray for rest for her, for margin for her, that the call to do this wouldn't choke out the call for her to be a daughter first and foremost. And then, Lord, I pray that she's not just a learner, that, Lord, if next week will be in Acts 17 and there's a statement made that you set the boundaries of our dwelling. Like, it's no accident that in this season that this young lady with her gifts and her education is coming to be part of our team. And Lord, I believe we're probably going to learn more from her than we're going to be able to teach her. And so, Lord, I pray that you would empower her to feel free to use the gifts that you've given her to help open our eyes, mold, shape, lead in ways that we so desperately need that you have gifted her to do. So, Lord, we're grateful for her, and we're excited to see your power move through her and the humility and genuineness in which she walks in that power. So thank you for that. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. How do you, Caroline? Let me also say this. So a couple of things. It's a celebration weekend. I've mentioned that. Brian's mentioned that. And then you're going to see some movement. And I want you to be nervous. Don't you be like, man, they're rude, like moving furniture in the middle of the sermon. This celebration weekend looks different for a couple of reasons. One of those is if you walked in and you're like, oh yeah, I got the email. We're going to be doing baptisms this morning. And so where's the baptismal tank? It's not over there. I actually think it's part of what the Lord's doing. So yesterday morning, Brian Collins texted me and he said, hey, we've got some leaks on the baptismal tank and we're not sure that's going to work. I was like, well, that's unfortunate on a weekend when we're doing baptisms. And so, like, we can use the outside fountain. We can make that work. And so it's like, okay, well, we got to figure out how to do that with our production technology. And then I was like, okay, we're going to need a different camera than we have in here because we can't, like, pull stuff up and take it out. It's going to be really disruptive. And so, like, I got online this thing called ShareGrid where you can get production equipment. And then I rented a camera. And I was like, sweet, I'll just go pick it up. Except for that it was in Simi Valley. So might as well have been in Canada at that point. It's like, okay. This is what we're doing, Lord. This is going to be that kind of weekend. And then a staff member texts me that part of his household had been rushed to the emergency room. And I'm like, okay, it is going to be that kind of weekend. And when those things start happening, I begin to say, okay, the enemy doesn't want something to happen that the Lord's about to make happen. So excuse me, because during worship, I got up here and I came in at like 14. And you guys are like, whoa, 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 we're second song. I hadn't had my coffee. We got to warm up to that. My heart is so expectant of what the Lord is going to do. And then I'll just add one more layer. This morning, I was here early. I'm typically here early. And I happened to be outside of the building. And back when we had the tent, I'd be outside of the building early in the morning and it wasn't a big deal. And a man walks up to me. And at that point, I'm like, where's Jason Flinty? In case this gets serious, I need somebody to, like, take somebody out. And so I get over my fear and I just ask him, hey, how are you? Can I be helpful? And I don't know that he was not under the influence of something. He looked like he wasn't quite fully here. And he's like, man, I'm just cold. I was like, all right, well, come inside. And then I was like, you know what? I got an extra jacket in my office. Let's get a jacket. We're walking by our kitchen area, and I was like, are you hungry? And he's like, man, I could use some oatmeal. And I'm like, do you want some water? He's like, yeah, but all we had was LaCroix, and so then it got really bougie really fast. It got weird. And I was like, all right, well, here's some orange LaCroix because you want sparkling water while you're on the streets. And then I just started asking him questions. What's your name? Carlos. Where are you from? Well, I'm not from around here. Where are you going? I'm not sure. I'm trying to figure out life. Oh man, if you're trying to figure out life, like what guides you in figuring out life? He's like, well, I just try to be positive and fight negativity. And I said, oh, okay. Like, what does that mean? Like, do you pray? Do you have faith? He's like, I mean, I grew up going to Catholic school. I like to debate that stuff. And I was like, well, would you mind if I pray for you? And he's like, you know, I would like that. And so after I prayed, he said, I want what you prayed for. Like, I want something deeper than what I had in school. And so I'm just convinced Jesus wants to show out this morning. And so with that in mind, why don't you go to your Bibles, Acts chapter 16. Last week, we started in Acts 16, and we begin to see the story of what God was doing by his Spirit to direct Paul in humility, direct the team in humility, not to where they thought they were going to go, and not necessarily to keep the rights that they thought that they were going to have, but instead to lead them to Macedonia, ultimately Philippi. As we turn there, I mentioned last week that this text is sentimental for me for a lot of reasons because of the number of times I've preached it in my adult life and the fact that I preached it during my candidate weekend. And so part of what I recognize is I don't just need to just preach it to you again. So here's the other way that this celebration weekend is going to look different. I'm just going to let this story be told in a modern context. And so you're going to get to hear the testimonies of two friends, Dina and Derek, and how the Lord has worked in their life in similar ways to what we see in this text. And I'm excited for you to hear, hey, the way that the Spirit was moving then, he's moving now. Or let me say it this way. That candidate weekend that I came in, I said, hey, there's four types of people. There are people who are that are head people, heart people, hands people, meaning people. And I'm a meaning person. I'm a why guy. I want to revise that. I think there's just two types of people in the world. People who are This Is Us people and people who are not This Is Us people. And no judgment if you don't watch This Is Us publicly. The elders will be letting you know, sending you an email about your excommunication afterwards. But if you're, here's the thing about This Is Us. It shouldn't work, right? That's not most of our story. If you've never seen the show on NBC is about these triplets that are a part of a family. And one of the triplets is adopted. And so his name is Randall. He's an African-American man. And most of us aren't a minority even within our own family. One of the siblings is a famous Hollywood actor that's trying to navigate life. And most of us aren't famous Hollywood actors trying to navigate life. Like all the pieces of this story don't make sense for most of us. Most of us don't live through that. And somehow This Is Us feels like every week you're done, you're wiping your eyes. You're like, I was Jack with my dad. I love this show. And somehow a story that feels so unrelated to our reality, yet still feels like it's speaking to every single one of us. I think that's important because as we read Acts 16, here's the reality. I don't think that very many of us walked in here today saying, man, last night at midnight, there was this earthquake and I busted out of jail. And yet somehow, this is the story that the Spirit has given us as a people to know how the Lord's still working amongst us. So let me give you the main idea and we'll move. The ministry of Paul's team in Philippi is a story of God's work to redeem and build community in the most uncommon ways with unlikely people. And it is our story. And so here's what we'll do in verses 11 through 34. I'm just going to tell you the story. I'll narratively walk through it. And then Derek and Dina will come up and they'll share and we'll experience the story together. And then finally, we'll end with an opportunity to continue the story in our day and age. So let me pray one more time and we'll jump in. Jesus, I thank you. I love you. I love that you are writing this story of making the world right. And you've written our names in it. So Lord, would you give us the grace to live that well? It's in your name I pray, amen? Amen. Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 11 says this. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace and the following day to Neapolis and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, and after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. And so just briefly, I just want to help you see the threads of the story. Last week, they were trying to go to Asia. They were trying to go to Mysia. They were trying to go to Bithynia. And the Spirit just kept saying no. And then there was a vision of the night and a man that said, hey, come to Macedonia and preach to us. And so they follow the Spirit's lead. When they arrive, on a Sabbath day, they go outside the city and they're like, okay, this seems like the place where people come to pray. And so they are around people who have some access, some knowledge, some relationship with the Lord. And they begin to speak and a woman named Lydia comes up and Lydia is interesting because Lydia seems to be well-to-do. We know that because one, this idea of being the seller of purple. Purple was a very hard dye to get in that day and age. And so to have the wealth to then distribute that to others says something about her independence, her affluence. but it also says that she feared God. So she wasn't this heathen who was wilding out in the streets. She wasn't this person who lived an inappropriate type lifestyle. It seems like there was this understanding of the Lord, but then she heard Paul and something happened in her heart that she said, look, where I'm at is not enough. I need to engage the Lord more deeply. I want to know him in a way that I don't currently do. She's baptized, her household as well. And then all of a sudden she's so generous. She was like, hey, you guys can't leave. If you find me faithful, stay. The language prevailed upon us is the same language that Luke uses when the men walk with Jesus that 7 miles and Jesus is like, okay, I'm going to keep going. They're like, no, we can't let you leave because there's something about you that we need to get more of. Amen. And so this woman has this encounter with these guys on the Sabbath and it turns her life completely around. And then let's keep going. Verse 16 would say this, as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to you the way of salvation. And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned around and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. I just want to pause here because I want to give a moment of sadness, but I also want to give a moment of celebration. Here's the moment of sadness, that this young woman, that somebody was exploiting her, that she had this spirit in her that was wrecking her life, and somebody said, I can make money off of this. And if we're going to pull the story into a modern context, I don't know that it's necessarily about a spiritual oppression, but far too often there are people that are making gain off somebody else's brokenness, and it's heartbreaking. And I love that as Paul and Silas are going to do what the Lord called them to do, that the Lord sets her free. I love that. Here's how it happens. Paul's annoyed. Like, you don't usually like write that like on your resume when you're like, hey, I'd like to volunteer for your ministry. Well, why do you want to serve kids? Because they annoy me. But sometimes there's this thing that agitates you and it gives you a burden. And I love that instead of Paul and Silas fleeing from it and saying, just leave us alone, we don't want to deal with this anymore, that they feel compelled by the Lord to speak truth to that thing, to see that thing change. That's not even my point this morning. I don't got time, but it's just there. Verse 19. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, these men are Jews and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in attacking them and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into the prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safe. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were loosed. Parenthetically, there's an album by a man named Fred Hammond, and there's a song that's called We're Blessed. And there's an interlude in the song where a lady named Sister Kim, who is part of that concert, begins to read this text. And so the way Sister Kim reads this text, I didn't just give that text justice. So like the way I read it was like, okay, factual information, you need to know what's going on. The way she reads it, it's like she's got this deep kind of, and about midnight, Paul is like, that's just playing in my head in the background. You just needed to know that. And then Fred Hammond comes in, late in the midnight. Okay, I don't have time. Let's keep going. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for the lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before him, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. And I just want you to see, man, how beautiful the person that was meant to inflict damage on them ends up coming to real life because of them. Like this man in a moment of crisis that he was willing to take his life because he had failed as his duties as a jailer, that they speak peace to him, that they say, hey, don't harm yourself. We're still here. And he ends up being saved, baptized in his household also. And as I said before, this doesn't feel like our story. You weren't hanging out outside the city gates this morning talking to a merchant lady who had lots of wealth and saying, I wonder what the Lord's going to do in her life. I joked, you weren't in jail last night at midnight. At least I don't think you were. And keeping prisoners from running out and talking to the guard and having a meal in his house after they beat you up. And so I often end with the question in messages, what does that have to do with us? But I want to go there in the middle. And so right now I want to invite my friends Dina and Derek to the stage. And I want them to begin to share how this story is their story and ultimately our story. And so we welcome Dina and Derek. That is a much better view. You should look.
I don't know about that.
So, it is a nice view.
First, introduce yourselves. I think that's a great way to just, what's your name? How long have you been coming? I've obviously given your first name, but how long have you guys been coming to Kings Harbor?
my name is Dina Feldman, and I've been coming since September 2018 was when I started going to church on the beach, like, regularly. My first service with Kings Harbor was that same year, the sunrise service on the beach.
Yeah.
I mean, not on the beach, sorry, on the park. I'm really nervous. I'm so sorry.
Don't be nervous. You're with friends.
Derek Petak, 2 years, Kings Harbor.
Yeah. So I want to start with you, Dina, because so people don't know this about you, but I'll tell them. You are a fantastic cook, and you sell salsa. That's your business. So when I was reading Lydia's story about this merchant woman, I thought immediately of you. And the other day we were having a conversation, and you were like, yeah, like I didn't just like start coming to church out of nowhere. Like, I had a bit of a faith background. So tell us about that. Like, before you were here, what was your religious experience like? How did you know the Lord?
So succinctly, as best as I can, I grew up with my parents being Christian, and I got baptized when I was younger, like 13 or 14. Unfortunately, my father wasn't like a great example of Christianity. He had drinking problems. And so I just kind of had like it was just a weirdness about religion. And then when I went to college, I went to UCLA. There was a campus ministry, which I was super fired up about, except for that once I got into it a little bit more, it just was very legalistic. There were a lot of news articles about it saying that it was a cult. And so ultimately, it was just really, it wrecked my heart for God, because I just saw so much stuff that was just really strange. And and truth be told, I was also young and I wanted to sin. And so it was, I'm not even just going to say that it was just that. I think it was just my heart just wasn't in it. And so I walked away from religion thinking that like it was just bogus, because anything that man touches sucks. And I can't trust people, and I can't trust what the church says. And I never stopped believing in God, but I also was not walking. I used to say that I was a non-practicing Christian, which just sounds terrible now. But yeah, I was just so completely turned off by religion and Christianity.
So how do you get from there to here?
So I had a long career at 20 years in my field. I was a board certified behavior analyst. I had multiple degrees, was running an agency. And out of nowhere, I can never identify what happened, but I just didn't want to do that anymore. It was really strange because I was being promoted to be the director of the company, and which would have meant a six-figure salary. Having been an immigrant, like coming from nothing, living in a cardboard box when we were in Mexico, to like coming here undocumented and getting all the things that like the American dream, and like walking away from it. I don't know why. I didn't have like a plan. It was just for multiple reasons. I just got a kind of a bug. Now I know it was the Lord. Because at that time I was not at all like the idea of Christianity and religion just did not play a role in my life. I ended up just starting this food business. I grew up in the food industry. My parents came here and they were like the dishwashers and the, you know, line cooks. We were always in the kitchen with them because, you know, they didn't have daycare. So, I just always thought about food and I loved food. I loved eating it. I loved making it. I loved sharing it. And so I just quit my career of 20 years at the peak of it and decided that I was going to start this salsa business. Had no experience. I was really struggling and randomly, you know, doing social media because that's like free marketing. I met Brandy and Kevin of the Backyard Training Company, and they're like right down the street from my house. And I just started kind of doing networking, like what I thought was networking. Long story short, I started just seeing their life on Instagram. Like they would post a lot of things about like the Lord and being thankful for their religion. I mean, not for their religion, for their relationship and whatnot. And something got stirred up in me, and I actually ended up reaching out to them and like wanting to network. And so long story short, they're the ones, Brandy invited me to the sunrise service. And then I was still very like, I didn't want to like go anywhere where there's Christians. So I started going to church on the beach with one toe in, literally. Like I was just like, I don't know about this. So I would show up and like run out. And the Lord just changed my heart, like chipped away, like little by little. It wasn't like this insane transformation, but it was truly like I just fell flat on my face crying and begging him for hope. And yeah, he like just did it. It was amazing. Yeah.
So I want to come back to you, but I want to give a little bit more of an introduction for Derek. So I can remember the weekend that Derek came was actually when we were starting the Book of Acts. And so that's how long we've been in the Book of Acts, 2 years, y'all. May end up being three, maybe four. We'll see what happens. And I remember seeing him in the back, and I didn't know him. I'd never seen him before. But then I remember like just conversations of all these people like, oh man, Derek's here. Oh, Derek's here. Derek is here. And I remember being at Costco on a conversation with Brian Barbara while trying to figure out how to convince myself not to buy the apple pie that I was trying to eat by myself. And he started telling me some of your story. And so I don't want to steal that thunder. And so tell me a little bit about, I didn't know anything about your life. We don't know much about the jailer's life before this. We just know that it's a moment of crisis that brought him to our understanding of who he becomes. And so I'd love to hear your story and maybe as much as you're comfortable, the moment of crisis that got you here.
All right, Pastor Mike, thanks.
I didn't buy the pie, by the way.
Good. Well, good morning. I'm a South Bay local, right? Born and raised. I'm a West Torrance kid, but you know, Gardena raised early in my life. I wasn't the best guy. Let's just say that. Not a good guy. Why working on that? But I'm the guy that that knows a lot of people in the South Bay. Done some dirt in my day, right? Not talking the dirt you guys think of, but I'm the guy that that likes to party, I'm in the surf, dirt bike culture, you name it, played some sports here, dabbled in some collegiate level football. But I'm a wild man. We'll talk about wilding out. I write the book on that. So coming in here, and when I say party, I mean like to have a good time, right? And you don't have the best reputation in the Mouth Bay, right? You guys call it South Bay, but when you're born and raised, everybody once got something to say about you and they're real opinionated, which I'm okay with, you know, because I got thick skin, kind of like a duck. When you go underwater and you come up and you see a duck, they're not wet, just rolls off your back. Well, I dabbled in that lifestyle my whole life. So, you know, you're not accepted everywhere you go. So it's almost like I used to love to be hated. I loved it. That was what I liked to do. And if there was a problem, a lot of people run that way. Well, I run to the problem. And I like to solve problems. And I don't really solve it with talking. I like to solve it with other ways. So I know I'm telling a little bit of background, but I mean, that's the real Derek. You peel an onion back and you're always going to get what you want on that onion, right? You never just buy an onion because it looks good on the outside. You want what's inside. Well, when you party and you drink a lot and you have a good time with friends and you know everybody around here and you got connections like it's no other and you're getting, how I came here. I mean, I rolled in one day. I shouldn't have woke up when I woke up at 6:30 in the morning. Let's just say that. And, I shouldn't have woke up. I'm not talking like drugs and stuff. I'm talking partying and just drinking. I smelled like Jack Daniels. And I woke up and I just drove here to this church and rolled in here. And I made eye contact with several people. There's several parents in here that I busted their kids up pretty bad. And I'm like, oh, here we go, rolling in. And then there's some people that I party with. And I'm like, hey, what's up, guys? Yeah. They're like, don't say hi to me. Don't even mention me. What are you doing here? And I'm like, I don't know. I really don't know. So I rolled in and then, Barbara and a couple of the boys were in there and they gave me a little head nod. And I was like, I'm going to post up in the back. Nobody sees me. Don't know why I'm here. And I tried to fly under the radar and I sat there smelling all to be damned and wearing the same clothes I wore the night before. I was partying down in Manhattan Beach. And here I am 2 years later.
Yeah. So I want to like connect the dots, right? So then March 8th comes, March 8th of 2020. It was a celebration Sunday. And we had several people that had been scheduled to be baptized. And then we made the invitation, hey, maybe you're here, maybe the Lord's doing something. And then because you're a head taller than everybody else, I see you pop up and walk out to go get baptized. And nobody got to hear the story. And so what did the Lord do from the dude that smelt like Jack Daniels that wanted to stroll in the back of the room because he was afraid of who's going to see him to publicly professing that you love Jesus? What happened?
Well, you mentioned the comment that you felt something in the room, right? Somebody needs to stand up. There's somebody. Everybody was baptized. I wasn't scheduled to get baptized. I don't even know why I was even here that Sunday again. I just rolled in again. I'm like, yeah, this is like 4 weeks in a row. It was great. Free coffees, people smile, I get a name tag. A lot of older ladies are really nice to me. I'm like, this is lovely. Nobody said one thing about the way I smell. I think I had wine the night before. I was like, ah, I like this Justin bottle, it's nice. You had mentioned something and everybody went out of the room, to get baptized. And you said, there's still somebody in here, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you were going in detail. And I'm like, wow, I'm waiting for this guy. You're like, Father, please. I mean, you're all passionate. Stand up. This guy, gal, stand up. And I'm all, let's see who the next person is standing up. I had an empty cup of coffee, right? I'm all, free coffee. I love it. I'm going to get another cup. I wait for a couple minutes. Nobody's getting up. I'm all, this is a good time to slither out. I drop that cup in the corner right down there, and I make eye contact with you. And I'm like, huh? That ain't me. I'm not getting wet. Sure enough, I don't know what happened. I threw that cup of coffee away, and I just headed to that room over there. And they sat down, and they're all, who are you? And I'm all, what are you doing here? I'm all, I literally said that. They're all, what do you want to confess? And I'm all, we don't have time for this. And that was it. I walked in that door over there, and one of your elders were in there talking. They were like, you're going to get dressed? I'm all, no, I'm going to go in this clothes. I came in this clothes. I want to get, and that was it. I got dunked. Thanks, Mr. Collins, for not dropping me. You know, 240 falling back with your eyes closed. Talk about a trust fall. And then I got wet.
Wow. Yeah, it's what I love about this is there's this time of walking with the Lord where you like kind of clean up your story and you do like the resume version. But I love that this is the raw, this is who you are version of the story. And that like you're in process. It is beautiful. And I imagine that night, Paul and Silas sitting in the jailer's house, he wasn't like, guys, let me talk to you about the Beatitudes. Like, I imagine it was probably a little gruff, a little like, oh, you probably can't say that on a microphone at church, but that's okay. Like I think it was just like beautiful. And so I love where you are and what the Lord's doing and how he's done that. And so, yeah. And so here's the other thing. One of the crazy twists of this story, we haven't got there yet, but it's coming, is all of a sudden these people become community. So you've got this wealthy woman, you've got this young lady who's being exploited, and then you've got this guy who wanted to see death on that, the church that Paul and Silas are trying to bring. And all of a sudden they're a community together. And so how is your community, both of you, this is for both of you, how has your community changed since you have confessed Jesus? How does it look different?
Go ahead.
Well, I joined a community group, which was amazing. Again, I came from the background of, I wanted to just keep everybody at arm's distance and very arrogant, you know, like, I got this, like, okay, God brought me here, but I got this. And I love my community group. I oftentimes just, you know, I know that things shift and sometimes you have to trust the Lord and, you know, in moving situations. And, you know, if a community group gets too big, you know, then they, you know, sometimes might split up. And I'm always like, no, not ours. I'm so thankful for the women and the people in my community group. Again, something that it was so different than my previous experience. And it's not, you know, coming to church and going to community group is not just a checkbox. It's like something that I yearn for. And I've come up to you many times weeping because this is the place that I feel I get reinvigorated or I get touched by like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, what's it going to be today? And then literally, like, you talk about exactly what my heart needs. And I'm just like, I'm like crying. And so my community is different in the sense of, it does revolve more around Jesus, you know, and I yearn for more of it. Like I want to know God on a deeper level now than I ever did before. I don't just want to check off boxes. I don't just want to just do the things. I want that, like, gut wrenching, like, you know, you just know you're walking with the Lord in the good and in the bad and in the wrestling with God, like Joseph did, and where you're just like, why aren't you doing what I'm asking you to do? And in the sweetness of, I heard your voice when you told me X, or I heard your voice when I was feeling this, or in all the ups and downs. So it's even just being up here, like, I'm normally a like a very good public speaker, I think. But I'm so humbled to even be here because, I just, the opportunity to, like, share my story and also, let people in, you know, is really, it's remarkable because, again, I like to keep things at bay. So it's very Christ-centered now.
Thank you. So awesome. So awesome. So Derek, you talked before. You're the dude that's wilding out. You're the dude that doesn't want to be known here. And then I remember back in the spring, we're out in the tent doing Everyman. And Todd sets it up and says, hey, this is a place for vulnerability and honesty. And you stand up and you begin to exhort the tent. You talk about being Willie Lump Lump, which I'm sure half the tent was like, I don't know who Willie is, but he sounds like a nice guy. How do you become that guy? How do you become the guy that's now, I didn't want to have anything to do with this, and now you're at a Saturday morning event with guys about community and brotherhood, and you're inviting guys to go deep and be honest. How do you get there? What's the Lord doing?
You got to let your guard down. I don't know if I let my guard down, but my guard was broken. You got to accept. Just listen. Open your heart up. Don't be scared. Don't be so embarrassed. Don't care what people think. Don't be scared to put that pie down at Costco. Right? I don't know how I stood up in there. TD called me out, but it just felt right. Maybe I cared what people thought. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. But let me tell you, when you feel something in your heart, when you feel something inside of you, listen to that something and act on it. Don't look around you and care what people think. Don't look around you and just be an influencer. Share what, if you're lucky enough to have God talk to you, or you're lucky to have that, share it. Don't be nervous. Don't be scared. you'll touch people. You never know who you touch. I mean, I don't know. I could touch nobody in here. I could touch anybody. I don't know. But to being able to share a story or be able to influence others, I still have my same group of friends. I do. Do I get stuff all the time thrown around at me? I do. I don't know. I kind of forgot your question.
So just asking about what community looks like, how it looks different because of Jesus.
I'm not scared. I go up and I talk to people. I mean, I'm still my same guy. I'm still the same guy. I still have a lot of connections in the South Bay. I still run with a lot of the same guys, but I try to influence them. And when they see change with me, let me tell you, if you can break me, if you can change me, you can change the whole South Bay. I'm dead serious. I'm 100%. I'm a 100 when I say that. If you can break me and change me and make me something different than I was before, and people see that, I may not talk heavily. I may not talk and be bubbly and say, hey, what's that? Hey, what? But when people see me and interact with people that I interact with or people that I still talk to and they see a different change in me, I think that speaks volume. I really, it's my opinion. I'm not tooting my horn. I'm just saying I really think that because people come up to me that I don't know. They just see it. They come to me and say they see a different Derek. Yeah. And when I hear that, I feel like I need to talk to them or just let them know, dude, if I can do it, trust me, you can do it. And people ask questions. People, my buddies ask and they dabble in certain situations and they hit me up for advice. And I'm like, well, you guys hit me up for advice?
Yeah.
Amen. Just do you.
So, yeah, that's awesome. So here's what I love, and you said some things, past tense, present tense, like I am this guy, I was this guy. And what I loved the most about that day that you got baptized is getting baptized is a watery grave. And Derek PTAC, who walked around, wilding out, being the life of the party, all those things, that guy's dead. And a new guy was raised to life. And so that's why people are like, I mean, it's you, but it's not you. It's like you used to be that guy, but now I'm asking you for advice. Like I just, and I love that the Lord's allowed you to be in proximity of those people who knew you when you once were. And now you who've been raised to life with Christ, they're getting to see that and they're saying, like, to your point, something's really different. And it's cool. It's cool.
Pastor Mark, I got a lot of patience all of a sudden. Temper's gone, patience. I'm like, what? Who's this guy? It's weird, but yeah, when people are like waiting for a reaction, I don't get it. I'm like, huh? They're like, that guy just cut you off on traffic. You're not going to go out there and kick his side view mirror off? Amen. You're not going to grab him through the windshield? And I'm like, no, wave at him. See you later, man. Have a good one. It's just, wow. But people see your actions and your reactions, and I think it speaks volume.
Yeah, praise the Lord. So Dina, I want to end with you. How would you give a word of encouragement to somebody who has a similar story to you, who's been around the church, maybe hurt by Christians or the church, and then maybe you're trying to find their way back? Because that's Lydia, right? Like, she was a God-fearer. And the Lord did something profound through Paul and Silas. The Lord did something profound between Brandy and Kevin. What's a word of encouragement that you would give?
I'd say, at least from my perspective, I was so focused on things being just right and that everybody did the right thing and acted Christian. And like, I was so focused on everybody else's representation of Christianity and while we, Derek said, people will see a change in us. That's not the emphasis of the gospel. And I think if anybody's in that situation, for me, it was just stop worrying about what other people did, have done, will do. Just humble yourself before God and surrender to the cross. I did a face plant when it was the moment. I remember it distinctly. In my bedroom floor, just face planting. And after 20 years of not having had anything to do with, I used to hear Christian music and it made me cringe. Like now I, wild out to Jesus music. In that moment, what I remember like so deeply in my heart, and when I struggle, it was that moment of surrender of like, it's not going to be right. It's not going to be perfect. It's not there. Nothing's going to be made right in that moment. And it may never will be made right. Broken relationships and things in the past and whatever, and maybe the things that are continuing to happen. But even now when I struggle, because I struggle, it's just breaking myself to that moment of surrender before Jesus and like letting go of my expectations are.
Yeah.
Because they get in the way.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. So I want to thank you both. It takes courage to share your story. And you know, both of you said, hey, I'm nervous. And both of you did great. So thank you for sharing. And so church, will you thank them one more time? And so I want to finish our text, and then I want to make an invitation. And so will you jump down into verse 36 or 35, excuse me. But when it was day, the magistrate sent the police saying, let those men go. And the jailer reported these words to Paul saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us in public, uncondemned men, men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And they do now throw us out secretly? No. Let them come themselves and take us out. The police reported these words to the magistrate, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them. And they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia. And when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. And the part that gets our attention starting in verse 35 is, oh yeah, there's this tension between Paul and him standing up for himself as a Roman citizen and saying, you guys can't do that to us secretly. And that's important because you're going to see that over and over again, this tension about how Paul lives his earthly citizenship versus his heavenly citizenship and how oftentimes he leverages that for the sake of the gospel. But the part that I want to point out to you is if you get out, and they're like, go in peace. And you've kind of stood up to them and like, no, y'all can't throw us out secretly. And like, you won the day. Like, you need to take your trophy and go home. But instead of running off and being concerned primarily about themselves, they go check on Lydia. They go check on the brothers. They go check on the community. That there's something deeper happening than just an event, but it's life on life together. That's my hope for us, is that this wouldn't just be an event or a celebration Sunday, but it would be life on life together. And so let me take that a little bit farther, because maybe you're here and you are a Lydia and you've done the church thing. You're good at 9 to 10:30, but following Jesus deeper than that is not something that you've committed to doing. And one of the beautiful ways to do that is to stand up and say publicly that the world might know, I follow Jesus. Or maybe you're a jailer. Maybe you're a Derek. Maybe there's a reputation and some messiness around you. Maybe you haven't followed Jesus and haven't known Jesus. And you're at this moment that if the Lord can take somebody like a jailer or take somebody like a Derek and break them with the gospel and the goodness of what Christ has done, you're asking them, then what would it take for him to save me? And I'll tell you this, my heart's cry. It would be difficult to find a story like the middle story of the young lady who was demon oppressed and was being taken advantage of, but I know that they're true. And I long for the day where those people are walking in the doors of our church, finding freedom because the gospel of Jesus Christ. And church, I want to ask you to long for that with me. But if you're in one of those other two stories, or maybe you're even in the third, it's no accident that we set a day aside to say, the Lord has done this work and the Lord is doing this work. And so I want to invite you. In a moment, I'm going to pray. And if you don't know the Lord, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. And I'm just going to be straight with you. I'm going to put all the cards on the table up front. When I say that, I'm going to say, I don't want to embarrass you. And so I'm going to have people close their eyes and you can raise your hand and do that. But then afterwards, I'm going to invite you after praying that prayer to stand up and be baptized. And you may be like, see, you set me up. So I told you up front. Or maybe you're like, no, I'm not ready. I didn't come prepared for that. Like I wore my Sunday best because I think that's what I'm supposed to do. We came prepared for you. We've got clothes. We've got towels. We've got what you need. Some of you, it's like, well, that's going to feel embarrassing. Like people know who I once was. And I'll just tell you that who you once were, when you step into the waters out on our fountain, that person is being buried in a watery grave. And you're coming out as someone new. Maybe you're worried, I can't keep this up. I've tried before. I'm going to be that good person. I'm going to stop being the person that gets in the fights or does this or likes having a good time. It's the grace of God that sustains you. And then on top of that, the Lord puts people around you to love you and help you. And so what I'm doing is I'm just trying to disarm every lie that the enemy might be whispering to you right now, saying, don't do it. Don't do it. And I want you to hear the grace of the Lord that says, step in. I've been waiting for you. So I mentioned, I'm going to invite you to pray. So I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your head. And as we do that, you've been listening, and maybe you identified with Dina and her story of being seeing a bad example of following Jesus and being harmed by the church, and it's made you take a step back from Jesus and say, I don't know if I can trust this, but today you're hearing that he's faithful, that he changes people, that he rescues and redeems people, not just past tense, but he's doing it right now, and maybe he's calling to you, and if that's you, would you slip your hand up, because I'd love to know that I'm praying for you. Or maybe you're a Derek, and maybe you're not living in a way that would make you a candidate in anybody's mind for the grace of the Lord, which makes you a perfect candidate for the grace of the Lord. And if that's you this morning, I'd love to pray for you. So if you're in either one of those spaces or maybe a similar story, would you slip your hand up, because I would love to pray. Let's go before the Lord. Jesus, we trust you and we long for those moments. And what's beautiful is, Lord, you don't need testimonies or services or lights or any of that to draw people to yourself. That there are times that people will quietly whisper in their hearts. There are times that it's progressive, that it's a person thinking they're getting rid of their coffee cup, ending up saying, I love Jesus and I'll follow him. And so Lord, even if we don't get to see it today by a raised hand, I believe you're working. I trust that you're working. Lord, we long for more Lydias, long for more Dinas, long for more Derricks, long for more jailers, long for the day that those that are oppressed and exploited find freedom amongst your people. So Lord, even a day like today is a day to be reminded to long for it. And when you give us the chance to be in proximity to it, to speak your truth to it. It's in your name I pray, amen.